John chapter 4. Book of 1 John and chapter number 4.
I was blessed to hear that Pastor Ketchum really enjoys the book of 1 John, and I do too. Of course, every Christian, we can say that we enjoy all of the Word of God, and without a doubt, that is true. I will think I will always remember a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, the book of Job never gripped me. I understood it, but it never gripped me. And once, when I was reading through the Bible, I did not know what book was next, and I finished the book before Job. And when I got to Job, I was like, oh no, you know, because everybody knows the first part and the last part. Now, I'm not preaching from the book of Job here tonight, I'm preaching from 1 John, but the book of Job never gripped me. And then when I saw that I was going to be reading Job, I prayed and I said, Lord, I pray that you would illumine me to the book of Job. I pray that you would reveal it to me in a powerful way. And the Lord certainly did do that. Now I preach from the book of Job and not just from the last part and the first part, but in the middle as well. And so the Lord is able to illumine our eyes and illumine our hearts to God's Word. And of course, the book of 1 John is quite easy. As I was thinking about what to preach here, I've learned something in my ministry is that there's something special about a new sermon. Now, we as evangelists, we've preached many times the same sermon a lot. And sometimes that, without a doubt, can... My attitude is always, it's the Word of God, regardless of whether I've preached it 1,000 times. But it's always nice to preach something fresh. So I love to make new sermons. I love doing that. So this is obviously a new sermon, just like the one was this morning, for the most part. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, you know some of my burdens and my passions, basically from what I preached this morning, and that burden and that passion continues as I look at how Christians treat each other. I see this, and this does not make sense to me. And so the verse that I will preach from tonight is 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, and I'll quote that here for you right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love." Very small verse, but yet very impactful verse. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. So obviously, what we have to figure out in this context, what does it mean to love? What does love mean? And what I have tried to figure out recently is, what does it mean to love your brother? We see that a lot in the book of 1 John. Loving your brother, loving your brother. What? Who is the brother? Now, of course, a lot of questions could be, answers could be, well, my brother is my blood brother. I think it's more than that. The brother here is somebody that you meet, regardless of where it's at. Whether you meet them at Walmart, they're your brother. Whether you meet them at a gas station, they're your brother. I don't think that's the case either. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but who is a brother? I believe, in studying this and looking at life, I think who a brother in the context of the book of 1 John, is somebody who's truly been saved. Somebody who's truly been born again. Notice I did not say a professing Christian. I didn't say a professing Christian. I said somebody who has truly been born again. Because based on what I can see, it's like unsaved people, and without a doubt, verse number 8 is talking about unsaved people. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. So it's very clear that the individual that doesn't love there in verse number 8 is an individual who is not saved, who is headed for hell. And it is with this type of unsaved person, and by the way, this type of unsaved person in verse number 8 can be anybody. This can be a deacon. This can be a pastor. This can be a religious leader of some sort. This could be a Baptist leader. The Bible is clear. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And oftentimes I wonder with people, are they really saved? Because it seems like they desire destruction for some Christians. And it's like unsaved people, broadly speaking, I've always been amazed at how many different kinds of unsaved people you can have. I have heard of Baptist pastors getting saved before. I heard of one preaching a gospel message once, and he actually went down to the steps from the platform, and he himself got saved, which means before that, he was not a saved man. You can be unsaved in many different ways. You can be a Muslim. You can be somebody, quote-unquote, in the jungles that's never heard the gospel. You can be the LGBT. You can be all different kinds of things and be unsaved. But the Bible is clear here. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And this is in the context, of course, of loving your brother. And I've had to think about that. What does that mean to love? Who is a brother? I think a brother is somebody who's truly been born again. Because an unsaved person can see somebody who's truly been born again, and I think if they react according to their sinful nature, there will be a hatred that is there. There will be a hate simply because of the fact that they can tell there is something different with them that I do not have. And there is a hatred that is there. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. The purpose for this message is that the hearers would recognize, based on 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, that if one is truly saved, visible love will characterize them. If they are not ever described by love, they are not children of God. Okay, now, unsaved people everywhere love their children. A few less unsaved people love their spouse. Unsaved people can love their friends. So is that what the Bible is talking about when it talks about love? I don't believe that it is. This is a more special kind of love. Many times we think about love as, I'm sad if they die. You know, that's about the weakest form of love that there can be. But this is a love that is much more. This is a love that sometimes it's hard to put into words what the kind of love that a Christian brother has for another Christian brother. It's sometimes it's hard to describe, but it's a love that wants to see them grow. Spiritually, it's a love that's willing to sacrifice themselves for the spiritual growth of another individual. It's a love that doesn't care if they get the credit. It's a selfless love. Many times unsaved people have a very conditional love. It's very conditional. So I'm not saying that an unsaved person can't love. Many times, agape love is referred to as God's love, as a divine kind of love. Well, if you looked at the Gospels, you would see that when the Bible says sinners love sinners, the word agape is actually used there. Sinners loving sinners. So do sinners really love other sinners with agape? Well, they can love with agape love. Are they loving with God's love? I don't think so. I really don't think they are. This love of being a Christian is a very special love. And honestly, with me, it's hard to describe. But my heart goes out to brothers, sisters, obviously, as well, that are going through a difficulty. My heart goes out to them. I had a professor once said that compassion is your pain in my heart. I think that might be a better way of describing love of a Christian brother for another Christian brother. And obviously sisters are involved with that too. Your pain in my heart, if I am a saved person and I'm 100% convinced that I am, if you're going through a legitimate difficulty, your pain is going to be in my heart as a Christian. Now, an unsaved person doesn't have that like a saved person does. In our sinful nature, we are categorically selfish and hateful. However, through a biblical salvation, the righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us, and through that righteousness, we have the ability to show unconditional love to the brethren. Okay, I believe a brother is a true, born-again, spirit-possessed child of God. Unsaved people can just, it seems like they just have an antenna. They have an ability to sense somebody that's different. And there's that inside of them that wants to bring them down to feel better about themselves. I have a bunch of verses here from the book of 1 John that speak about this, that speak about the love of a brother. John often gets this as a reputation that he was the love guy. Well, who inspired the book of 1 John? 2 John and 3 John and the book of John. The Holy Spirit did. God did. So really what we see here is the heartbeat of God, is what we see. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay, well, it's very clear there. I know people that I get the sense that they don't want me to be successful, even as a preacher. They don't want that. I get that sense. Yeah. I really do, and I'm not making it up. If that is true, I don't know how they pass this test. I don't know how they do, how they pass it. It's very clear, neither he that loveth not his brother, and this the children of God are manifest. That's how we know. I didn't give the title of my message yet, but here it goes. The revelation of legitimacy. Who is a legitimate Christian? Well, obviously, according to what we've seen, a legitimate Christian is one who loves his brother. And who is a brother? A brother is a true child of God. This reveals, we see it, it's revealed who is a child of God. One that loves his brother. One who loves somebody who's truly been born again. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So where does this hatred come from? It comes from the fact that inside that unsaved person, there's a desire to bring that saved person down. To feel better about themselves. Because really, that seems like there is a type of conviction that comes across them. And the way that they can get rid of that conviction is by attacking the child of God. Verse 14, well, I'm going to read verses 14 through 19 of 1 John chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Okay, this is so simple. I mean, it is. How simple, how much more simple could John get? We know that we have passed from death unto life. In other words, that we're saved because we love the brethren. There you go. I mean, it's right there. I could quit right now. And enough has been said. Now I'm going to keep going though. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That does not sound like a saved person. Whosoever hateth his brother, and like I said, I believe this is a child of God, is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Notice this, it's not, the focus here is the bowels of compassion. Sometimes you don't have the ability to help out somebody, but the difference is,
I lost it. I don't know how that happened. But the difference is, I got to get back to track here. 1 John chapter 3. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The key is, are there bowels of compassion? That's the focus. Is the bowels of compassion there? Okay, an unsaved person just shuts that up. Sometimes we don't have the ability to help somebody, but the bowels of compassion are still there. Verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. What's the context of verse number 19? It's loving in word. Loving in deed and in truth. That is what assures our hearts before Him. I know I'm saved. One of the reasons I know I'm saved is because I try to encourage my brothers in Christ. I send text messages. I try to encourage however I can. Now, it's not out of any self-seeking type of thing. But it's truly the fact the Holy Spirit of God is working through me to seek to be a blessing. Verse 23 of 1 John chapter number 3. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Verse 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. The Spirit of God is what leads us to love. And that's also assurance that we have been converted, that we have been changed. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, if love there in verse number 7 is just something like a basic love that a parent has for their children, it can't be that, because pretty much 99% of parents love their children to a degree. In other words, they don't want to see them die. Okay? The most basic kind of love. So it can't be talking about that. It has to be something more. It has to be an unconditional love, a love that comes from God, a love that only a saved person can have. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is a very narrow type of love. Verse number 12 of 1 John chapter number 4. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Loving a professing Christian is evidence of this, that God's salvation has come. 1 John chapter 4, now verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. When you hate your brother, what are you like? You want to see them fall. You want to see them unsuccessful.
You want to see them go through hard trial. You want to see them have difficulty. That's what the Bible says an unsaved person is like. Wants them to have difficulty. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So clear. I don't think I'm making any compromises at all. That one of the main characteristics of us as Christians, I quoted it from this morning, John 13:35, needs to be our love that we have for those that are truly saved. Now back in 1 John chapter 4,
in verse number 8, as we look at it again, he that loveth not knoweth not God. This amazes me, and it's very serious. Do you realize that regardless of who it is, if you have an individual that desires to see other people's destruction, a brother, a believer in Jesus Christ, if somebody, even if they're a professing Christian, the reality is, if they want to see them fall, if they rejoice in their suffering, regardless of who they are, do you realize that hell is their home? They're headed for hell. They're not a child of God whatsoever, at all. They're not saved. They're headed straight for hell. So here is a very good question. How do you deal with a professing Christian? Maybe a lot of people think they're saved. You've seen something in them that says there is a lot of hate in this individual. How do you deal with that? It's a good question. How to deal with professing Christians whom you believe hate you. The Word of God would lead us to believe that if it's a long-term type of thing, in other words, this is their characteristic of life, they're not saved. They are not born again. They are truly not saved. Many times these people are truly scorners. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Most of the time, the people that come to my mind with this, they're most of the time scorners. In other words, they will not receive correction. Only the Lord is the one that's able to truly change them. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 7 says that he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So certainly, they can be taken to the side and talk to them and say, you know what, if it's me, you could say, I don't sense that you love me. Or you can say to another person, I don't sense that you love that brother in the Lord. Can I share something with you from the book of 1 John? The Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. And so in time, through counsel, it could be said to them, are you saved? Your hatred, your desire to see them destroyed and to see them unsuccessful does not match up with God's Word. It does not match up with the life of a Christian. Are you born again? Now, sometimes they will reject that, and you can pray for them. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. I like Romans 10 verse number 1 because it was Paul's prayer for the Jewish people. His prayer was that they would be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Pray for these people that God would get a hold of their hearts. Now, it's tough when you sometimes realize that somebody may be in ministry and they're deep down people of hate. If you're a different kind of a Christian, they hate you. You are hated. You look at the Bible, it doesn't match up. That's not how a true Christian acts. A true Christian, loves another brother in Christ, even though there may be disagreements. There's still a love that's there. If there is consistently not a love, I'm here to say they're not saved. If they desire the destruction of another brother in Christ, just because they're different, I can say based on God's Word and the book of 1 John, they're not saved. Regardless of whether they wear a tie and a suit jacket every Sunday, they're not saved. As we continue to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. We come to the last part, for God is love. I don't know if you've heard the illustration before, I've heard it numerous times, about how somebody came up to a preacher one time and said, you know, I would like you to preach on love more. You never preach on love. I want you to preach on love. And I'm actually going to go a different way with this. And so he decided, okay, I'm going to preach on love. And guess what he did for the next service? 1 John 2:15, love, not the world. And so that was not what that lady was expecting. She wanted love, you know, that kind of thing. And she got love, not the world. But can I tell you, I am very glad that God is a God of love. I am not ashamed of the God of love. I do not feel like I am a weak man because I preach on the love of God. I'm very thankful for the love of God. God is love. God equals love. Now, what's this connection that's here? 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay? Easy illustration here. My wife, do you still believe I look more like the Swenson side or the Clay side? You once said, what? My wife believes I look more like my mom's side. Recently, I was eating with a preacher, and he looked at me and said, you look like your dad. Well, how does that work? How can I look like my mom's side and my dad's side both at the same time? Well, it probably does make sense that I can look like both at the same time. Why? Because we are genetically connected. Why is it that he that loveth not knoweth not God? Because for God is love, is because I am connected to God. It only makes sense that I would have his characteristics. He is my Father, therefore I'm going to have the same characteristics, and that characteristic that I'm going to have is love. I am eternally connected to true love. Because I am so connected to God through a biblical salvation, I will also manifest love. I'm going to quote a verse from the book of Romans in chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 17. Hate for a true Christian is evidence that one... Hate for a Christian, a professing Christian, is evidence that one has not been born again. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. We are a joint heir with Christ. Joint with Christ. We are children of God. And because of that, it just makes sense that we are going to have love. Christianity, is there's supposed to be a very special relationship. Regardless of race, regardless of gender to a certain level there. I think you understand that. Regardless of background, regardless of maybe different beliefs about different things, there's still supposed to be a love that is there. And just what I've seen, what has burdened my heart, is I see a lot of hate. Like I said, I truly believe there are professing Christians that do not want to see me be a successful preacher. I think Brother Ketchum would probably say, Pastor Ketchum would probably say, there are people, professing Christians, that don't want to see him be a successful preacher. If we study that and we look at that from the book of 1 John, we have to think, okay, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit. That is impossible. I think that's what we learn from the book of 1 John. The conclusion is pretty simple. God's people are defined by love. Once again, hate of a professing Christian is evidence that one has not been born again. Love for all Christians is evidence of ownership of spiritual deliverance. We've been delivered. It's proof when we show love for others. And it's not, it's a love that's not just, I'm sad if you die. It's a love that tries to reach out and tries to be a help. Just tries to do what's right. Just tries to let God's love flow freely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you have given us here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have showed me this. I thank you so much that I have been born again, that I have been saved. And how often, how many times I just stop to think about that, that one day I will be in heaven. It's so exciting to know that one day I'm going to be up with you. My sinful nature will be gone. It will be bliss there in heaven. And I thank you for the assurances that you give us concerning this. You have given me of your Spirit, and because of that, I can love.